time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
Yo, welcome back to the Hot Seat. I am your host, EJ Russell, and we are here live from a new location.
It's a bit new, yeah.
We're here at a new location. We are live from my home studio in Escanaba, and by home studio, I mean my living room, my man cave, my bachelor pad. Mi casa es su casa, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, contributor, and all-around good guy, Scott. I love stealing that from you, buddy. I hope you're listening. Escanaba Excellence, or excuse me, he is Escanaba Excellence. He is the notorious N-O-R-S-E. My good friend, Tyler Willett, is here riding co-pilot today. Tyler, how the heck are you, buddy?
Oh, it's good. It's good. We got to get it. We're going to get an episode out there. You know, we had 2 weeks off. I mean, last week we did record and technical difficulties kind of put the halt to that. But I'm glad to be back and we are going to get this one out there. I promise. But...
Well, you're going to throw us under the bus with the technical difficulties. I was going to just say it was a 2 week hiatus out of respect for your family. But yeah, no, it was. We recorded an hour and 5 minutes, and literally at 1 hour during our best bets, it cut. And so we just, schedules didn't line up. We didn't get a chance to re-record it. So fans of the Hot Seat, I apologize for the delay. First week missing was due to Tyler's grandmother's passing. And I did give you a shout out while re-recorded last week, even though unfortunately that episode didn't make the air. So again, Tyler, condolences to you and your family. I did get a chance to make it out there and spend some time with your family, but glad you're back, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you, AJ. I'm glad I'm back too. It's about time, yeah. And like you said, new location, not at Moe's Pub for the first time in our history of the show, really. Yeah, so from your house, I think it's going to go great, though. I think it's going to be good.
And we'll be here for a few weeks, thanks to Auntie Gretchen.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a couple shows, probably. So yeah.
So we might explore maybe a new location. Maybe we find somewhere else to go in the meantime. But this episode, as always, is sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. Happy to shout them out as always. During these restricted times, they are still open for takeout. So please don't hesitate to call, reach out, support your local businesses. I know a bunch of us went out there Tuesday night. I think my bill was $40. I think I tipped $40. I just like support your local businesses, guys. These restaurants, bar owners, they need our support now more than ever. So please, please, please shop local. Support your local businesses. My work, I won't say what that is right now because they are not a sponsor of the show. We are supporting the Shop Local campaign right now. I know Chris, the owner of Moe's, would be happy. Your mother has been a fantastic supporter of Shop Local. So please, shop local, guys. Again, this episode is sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. Best place sketch game in Escanaba. So Tyler, just give them a little credit here. I know we miss being there. We did have to bring in our own bottle of Pink Whitney tonight for our pregame shot.
We did.
So we're here, and since we're bringing it up, let's hit our pregame shot here before we get on the hot seat and discuss who's is there. Sip it up, buddy.
It's a good one.
Oh, I took a gulp.
It was a good one.
Wow, that was – I don't have shot glasses, so we're drinking out of these –
bigger than shot glasses.
Tubs, I think you'd call them.
Yeah.
We got some Pink Whitney on ice here, and I think Tyler and I have been drinking the Pink Whitney more than we have our beers since we started getting here tonight and getting pregame going. But let's get right to it. Tyler, I'll give you honors since you weren't here last time. This is the Thursday, November 19th edition of the game. You should hear this tomorrow or today if you're listening, which would be November 20th if we get this up in time. This week's edition of the Hot Seat. Tyler, first hot seat. We always do three, starting with our gripes and groans. Who you got, brother?
All right, yeah, EJ. The Chicago Bears are my first hot seat.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second, too. I'm going to keep drinking this tub of Pink Whitney. It's so good.
It is good.
I know this isn't a Pink Whitney advertisement.
Shout out Barstool Sports.
We do like Barstool Sports on this podcast, at least. Of course, and I did forget to mention this, this edition of the Hot Seat is powered by the Game Entertainment Media. You can just check us out at the gamesportshow.podbean.com, where you can hear the Monday night edition of the game with myself, Bush Davis, Dave McKeag, and our president, Scott Nace, co-president Scott Nace, and Dave and Scott. No, we can't call him Prez, though. Should we call him Biden and Kamala? No.
No.
Well, Dave's Canadian, so he wouldn't qualify United States office anyways, but Dave and Scott really leading the way for us. So they're on the Monday night show along with myself and Butch Davis. Speaking of Butch, you can listen to his podcast, Simply Butch 2. That's too.podomatic.com. Also available at the gamesportshow.podbean.com. Listen to Drive out of Blacksburg, Virginia with Paul Van Wagner. The In the Pocket segment with Dave McKeag, myself, Jamie Antonell, Justin Eichel, all the Canadian boys are in the house for that one. New hockey podcast, new baseball podcast. There are other podcasts coming. The Game Entertainment Media is spreading out beyond sports. We're going to do some travel. We're going to do some cooking from when it's not. We're hitting everything. So, again, this episode of The Hot Seat powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Sorry, Tyler, I didn't mean to go on a rant there. I know Pink Whitney's not a sponsor, but, man, this is going down pretty good. But shout out to Jim. The Game Entertainment Media powers what we're doing here tonight. So thank you to the company.
Oh, yeah, great, great shout out. But like I said, the Chicago Bears are on my hot seat.
They're what?
5-5.
Are they 5-5? Because nobody can hear you. I think you accidentally muted yourself.
I did.
We were hoping to put together one solid show.
Wait, it's going to be
and
solid.
We're not even 7 minutes in, and Tyler's got the first air of the day. So I love it. That's hey. You know what? That's the fun of recording from a home studio. It's different. It's fun. Hey, we're trying our best, and hopefully you guys that are listening, our listeners, those Gem fans out there, those fans of the Hot Seat, hopefully you're enjoying this because I know that you're not hearing this live, but we're doing this live, and Tyler and I's notes this week are very blank, okay? We're bringing you the best that we got, but come on, let's kick this off. No more airs, Tyler. Hey, look at me, buddy, right here in the eyes. Let's do this. All right, I'm a hot seat. What do you got?
Yeah, so Chicago, 5-5. There we are. Starting the season 5-1, losing their last four straight. And it's been kind of a wild season. Starting 5-1, no one really expected that for Chicago. And honestly, their wins are not against – they did beat Tampa on a Thursday night game, which is probably their – it is by far their best win. They beat the Lions, Giants, Falcons – and the Panthers. So those are all losing record teams. But this stretch of losses are against pretty solid opponents, but you have to win. You can't start 5-1 EJ and lose four straight like that. And obviously the quarterback situation has been interesting with Nick Foles and Trubisky. Trubisky started the year 3-0, and then Foles has played since then, and the record's been worse. So, I mean, I think Foles is probably the better option. Foles got hurt at the end of that game against Minnesota on Monday night. So, it's interesting to see they're on the bye this coming up week, and then they got Green Bay, which is a huge game for a lot of reasons. But, yeah, I don't know who's going to come out of quarterback. Foles has been struggling mightily. The offense in general is just – it's awful. Their offense is horrible. So
here's the problem. And I'll be honest here. I stole this quote, and I know that I've heard this quote before, but I've just been playing the new Madden game, right? Doing a little face of the franchise, and Rich Eisen gives a quote in the face of the franchise storyline. And Hall of Fame head coach John Madden said, if you got two quarterbacks, you got none. Okay. Right now, Chicago has two quarterbacks. Now, I agree, right? Mitchell Trubisky did get them off to a great start. Kid from Menor High School, those from my neck of the woods, the Ohio listeners, the Cleveland fans know, I'm from Solon. We're not big fans of Menor, okay? Mitchell Trubisky was actually the one quarterback in that draft that I was not okay with the Browns getting because he played only 1 year in North Carolina. He didn't look fantastic.
Didn't have a crazy good record by any means there.
When it's not like he's were... no, he played okay. I mean, he looked in his senior year like an NFL quarterback. He did. He stood in the pocket well. He took a shot when he needed to. He did what he had to do to gain wins for his team. But I don't think he was as good as they want him to be. I will say this. Nick Foles, since he's taken over, has lost more games than he's won. Okay. But Nick Foles is in himself the best backup quarterback of all time. Asterisk, I'll put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there too. And
Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn's up there too.
Matt Flynn. No, I'd rather put Josh McCown above.
He's been
Matt
in
Flynn
the league for like 16 years.
And he's mentored guys in Cleveland. He's played for Cleveland. He played for Lions. He's played for what? 10,
like
9,
every
10 different
teams.
I think he can have his entire extended family wear a different jersey in the NFL, and all 32 of them could wear a different uniform. Nick Foles is not great as a starter. When Philadelphia named him a starter that first time, it didn't go very well. Then he went down to Jacksonville, and he was a starter. That's why he ended up where he is now. Now he's in Chicago coming in relief for Mitchell Trubisky, and in that first little pinch, he looks solid. Because Nick Foles looks better when you don't know what you're getting. Mitchell Trubisky, you know what you're going to get, but I think that Khalil Mack is a good enough piece on defense that he can make up for how bad Mitchell Trubisky can be as an offensive player. Like, when Mitchell Trubisky has a good game, they're solid. They're winning the game.
Well, he was a Pro Bowler like 2 years ago. Which
they were only a Pro Bowler because they won a division. But
Pro Bowl is not a very good...
That might be the first ball I've ever seen GeAndre Hopkins drop in my entire life. By the way, as we're recording, it's Thursday. The Seahawks are playing the Cardinals, and that might be the first ball I've ever seen GeAndre Hopkins drop. But Mitchell Trubisky has done. You know who might be a fair comparison right now, and I'm not saying the gameplay style. Tim Tebow, right? Mitchell Trubisky and Tim Tebow have done nothing but win football games. And they're being ostracized for the things that they do wrong. And they're being Tebow, I think this is a great word choice, exercised from the league. It was like an exorcism. They didn't want what he was bringing. Get him out. We don't want – because he was – he is a very polarizing Christian figure. But Mitchell Trubisky is Tim Tebow, but without – without the Catholic controversy, I'll call it, even though Tebow's not a Catholic. It's tough. I don't like Trubisky. I think that they're better with him than Foles in the regular season. I say you bring Foles in game two of the playoffs or the second quarter of the playoffs, but Mitchell Trubisky, I think, is the best chance for the Bears to win in the regular season.
And the other big
point, at least the statistics are showing.
Another big thing is the Bears, their whole thing this year for offense has been how bad their line is. And Trubisky is a much better mobile quarterback than Foles is. So you have to believe that Trubisky would be able to make plays with his feet more than Foles can't run. He's not mobile at all. Like, Trubisky can get around and scramble.
Foles can run enough to get to the corner of the end zone for a touchdown and prove that in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he can move.
Not as much as Trubisky, though. And I think Trubisky is a better scrambler than Foles is by a lot. So, That's kind of a, if you want to go that way. And the other thing is their defense is top three in the league. And
the Bears?
Oh, yeah. The Bears' defense is.
Oh, I thought you were making sure you weren't talking about some old Nick Foles defense.
No. The Bears right now, their defense is top three in the NFL. And they have literally put.
They have the best defensive player I've ever seen in my life.
Mac is a beast.
Aaron Donald might come close, but Khalil Mack's the only player in NFL history to make the Pro Bowl at both two. Excuse me, he's the only player in NFL history to make the Pro Bowl at two different positions. And when he did it, he was linebacker and defensive lineman. That's an incredible amount of skill right there. And intelligence.
And he has good hands. He had an interception. Well, he took that out of Thielen's hand. He's just strong. He had a pick.
No, didn't he take that one out of Sean Kizer's hands in his first game against the Packers? Aaron Rodgers got hurt. He came in succession.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Sean Kizer was. You were there. But the way that he ripped that away, I think it was his first game as a Chicago Bear.
It was the first game of the year. Yeah.
And I think he had a forced fumble.
And a pick
then
in
he
the
had,
first half. And a pick was it a pick six?
No, the forced fumble was Deshaun Kizer. He ripped that away and he took it to the end zone for a tutty. And then he had the pick that he took back for a nice return. I believe, if I'm remembering,
it was all in the first half, too. It was
in the first quarter. It felt like it was in the first half. It might have been the second quarter, because I think Aaron Rodgers made it through the first quarter, and then that's when he had that goofy knee injury. Because I remember Aaron Rodgers came back in that game, and by the way, let's talk about gutsy performances.
He was drugged up.
They ended up winning that game. The Packers did, and Aaron Rodgers did that on one leg.
Game I've been to. Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I mean. Credit to Aaron Rodgers, who I always said is the most arm-talented quarterback I've ever seen. But we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about the Bears. But Khalil Mack does help that team. Bears are on the hot seat. They were 5-5, 5-1 start. We're going to move on beyond them, just out of time. I'm going to give you my second hot seat of the week. And, dude, it's Justin Herbert. And a lot of people hear that and they go, well, he's been playing pretty good. The Chargers just aren't winning. I ain't talking about his play. I'm talking about his haircut. Dude looked like a California surfer boy with a small bit of peach fuzz and went and looked like he's about to be the starter of your fifth grade quarterback team when he buzzed his head. Justin Herbert looks terrible. Bro, that is the worst haircut I've ever seen on top of having a, 2-7 record or whatever they have. There's, like, at least keep your hair, man. Like, what do you I would love to hear the explanation of why he did that. And here's why I'd love to. Because And I'm going to reference a different sport here, baseball, okay? And I'm going back to when Jason Giambi was playing for the New York Yankees. He got in this nasty slump, and all of a sudden he grew this dirty little mustache. This nasty stash. Looked like the ugliest caterpillar crawled across his lip. And he ended up getting out of that slump. You know, he when he was playing for my Cleveland Indians, he was in a slump, and he was part of that big 10-game win streak that we took going into October. When we won, what was it, 25-26 straight games.
Yeah.
And ended up petering out in the playoffs. We just streaked at the wrong time. It was that Indians team in that streak was the best team in the league that year. But they couldn't do it when it mattered. But, Jason Giambi did his stash to get out of it. Did he shave his hair to get out of 2-7? Like, if he did, like, bro, you shouldn't have, because now you look like a pedophile.
Well, no, I
don't know if I can say it head on the air, but he looks creepy, bro.
He looks different. But I did read on Twitter the strength and conditioning coach made him do it. And the rookie hazing usually
for the why? Like, I get that you do it for the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
But this ain't got nothing to do with the boys. This is just a bad haircut. Like, it's not even a good buzz cut. Either that or he's got the ugliest melon I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, at first I looked at him like, oh, it's a buzz cut. But I looked into it because I saw people freaking out about it. I'm like, yeah.
He's got an ugly. Is that the shape of his head, or is that just a bad haircut? For real, like, it's terrible.
I don't know, but whatever it is. But I heard it was strength and conditioning. And when you like haze rookies, I feel like you're supposed to do that early in the year.
Like when you're 2-7,
or you do like the monk cut.
Tim Tebow had that.
Yeah, Tebow did that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Tebow again.
Yeah, he had that for the Broncos. Yeah, but no, it's such a weird look. And his hair was good. I liked his hair. Like, I feel like he had a nice career too.
He had a nice little salad going on up there.
Like,
he had
the California
hockey hair.
Yeah.
He had hockey hair.
He had flow, dude.
And yeah, first of all, okay, anybody that doesn't know about salad, a little bit of flow, look up the All Minnesota hockey team, and you're going to learn
about... I
know
exactly what you're talking about. They went down the line.
Dude, you're going to learn about some cheddar, learn about some flow, learn about some lettuce. I'm going to show you how to do your hair like a bro, okay? Justin Herbert was that bro, and now he's like... He went from bro to no. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Oh, I said no, too. Shit.
It was terrible. So let's hot seat. We're just making fun of Justin for Herbert to have a little bit of fun. But he is having a great rookie year, although not getting the wins. We'll go on to our third hot seat because we're going to talk about a team that is winning and is difficult to put on the hot seat. And, Tyler, I think you and I agree a lot of reasons as to why. And I'll give you the intro here. Our third hot seat, and we both agreed on this, is the Seattle Seahawks right now. And it's difficult to put a 6-win team on the hot seat. However, they've lost 3 out of the last 4 games. The Cardinals, the Bills, and who is the other one? Please, the Rams. Excuse me. Yep. They've lost 3 out of the last 4 games. Okay. One of the Cardinals and the Rams are division opponents. Okay.
Big games.
There's a big plug at 6-3. So Seahawks are on the hot seat. Tyler, I'll give you a chance to tell our fans why.
Yeah, EJ. Like you said, we agreed on it a lot. As soon as you said that, I was like, I was going to say it, but like you said, they're 6-3. So like, it's hard to put a 6-3 team in the hot seat. But I mean,
well, the difference between you and me is I'm not afraid to make people mad.
I don't know. How many people,
you know,
are
what? Just because it's no, but just because it's an unpopular opinion doesn't make it not true. The Seahawks are on the hot seat right now. You are 3-4 in your last four games, and arguably have the best player on the planet on your team right now. There's maybe four guys that are the best in the world right now. Russell Wilson's one.
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, sure. I'll put him in the top four. I say Lamar's still there because Lamar has the skill.
Mahomes.
Okay. And Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Hall of Famer, Patty Mahomes.
Thank you, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. I appreciate that. Thank you for correcting me, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. But
the thing is, though,
you can't lose 3 out of 4 and be Russell Wilson.
That's the thing. Russell's been a pretty big reason. Like, their defense is horrid, but he's been a really big reason on why.
How many times has he missed the playoffs?
Zero?
Is Donut, really zero? Buddy. Only guy to never have a losing season in his first 8 seasons.
That's insane, actually. But, no, this year, he started his first 5 games. He only had 3 interceptions. In his last 4 games, the 3 out of 4 games he's lost, he's had 7. It's been a huge uptick in, like, turnovers. And, obviously, they're playing better teams. But, like, if you want to be a contender, you have to win these games. And they haven't been able to beat the good teams. They started off 5-0, right? These wins are not very good team. It's Atlanta, New England, Dallas. The Dallas one was better then because they had Dak at the time. I'll give them that. But then Miami and Minnesota. Miami. So, like, 2 out of those wins are, like,
Miami's 6-3.
Yes, but at the
keep
time
that in mind. That's not. That's right now. That's a good win.
Right now, yeah. Okay, yes. But But their losses are to Buffalo, the Rams, and the Cardinals, like you said, and those are all 3 really good teams. And then they beat the Niners, which is – the Niners were injuries like crazy. So it's just – I feel like
– You weren't playing the 49ers. You were playing the fours. You were playing the fours without the nines.
Right, right. It's just a huge disadvantage. No, but it's – I don't know. The Seahawks, they're suspect. And right now they are playing well against the Cardinals. I do have to say it's – 7-0, and they're kind of dominating the game. It's still early first quarter, but
there's 4 minutes left on the first.
Yeah, there's a lot of time here, but I don't know. Seattle's interesting, and if Russ gets hot like he did beginning of the year, they would 5-0. Just like he's obviously the key to that team. Jamal Adams just came back for that defense, but I just don't know. That defense is so bad, so I just don't know. But yeah, Seahawks, 3rd team on the hot seat.
So that'll wrap it up for the hot seat. Our gripes and groans, Seahawks, Justin Herbert's haircut, which I have to laugh at. I did do that just to dog at him. Dude, he really went from looking like a 24-year-old kid to a 5th grader. Like, it's bad. It's, fans, please look this up. It's a terrible haircut. So we're transitioning from the Seahawks into the NFL. We'll make the smooth transition here because I know that everyone that listens to this show knows that I love the NFL. Tyler's a Lions fan. I'm a Browns fan. So let's break down week 10 a little bit. And I want to say happy Super Victory Monday to a lot of people in this area, right? I'm making it a super one because my Browns found a way to squeak out a win against the Texans. Lions got the dub.
They squeaked one all too. They shouldn't have had to.
Packers got the dub.
Their game was close too.
Shout out to our dear friend Will, who couldn't make it here tonight because we can't record from Moe's Pub due to legal restrictions, but we did call him and ask him to serve us beers from my living room. I was going to pay Will to get beers for Tyler and I.
Bartender at Moe's.
Well, yeah, let's support local business. I'm trying to support me amigos, but let's, you know, Browns won, Lions won, Packers won, Cardinals won.
That was a crazy game.
That was a great finish. Shout out to DL. You know what? Let's get into that one first. Is DeAndre Hopkins not the best wide receiver in football right now? I know normally we go Packers or Lions, Packers, Browns, but let's talk about that catch for a second. Boy got old boy mossed him. Okay, and for those that do follow ESPN, he got mossed. You got mossed. He went up against DeAndre Hopkins, number 10 for the Arizona Cardinals, who's arguably the best wide receiver in the league. Took a Hail Mary-ish pass from quarterback Kyler Murray, who is in his sophomore season. Kyler Murray rolled out to the left side, avoided a very difficult tackle, rolled out to the left side, just chucked one up, and DeAndre Hopkins beats 3 guys in a jump ball situation in the end zone to catch the game-winning touchdown in incredible fashion. And I'll tell you what, you knew that when that ball went up, You're like, they're not going to catch it, but if anybody does, it'll be DeAndre Hopkins. And he's like, oh, touchdown. You knew, you didn't even, you couldn't see who it was, but you knew it was DeAndre Hopkins. Is he the best wide receiver in the NFL right now?
Well, EJ, do you know exactly who this reminded me? It reminded me of Calvin Johnson.
Like, no.
Catches, oh, come on. Catches that Calvin. I can pull up highlight. Calvin has so many of the, don't even, he's, you, are you really against Calvin Johnson?
No. I'm not against Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson is better than DeAndre Hopkins.
You're I don't not, know about that.
Oh, my. Okay.
Calvin Johnson is this in here. We're going to have a bet, okay? So get your popcorn ready for those listening. Calvin Johnson is, in my opinion, the second or third best wide receiver in the history of the NFL. Jerry Rice is hands
okay,
down.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Jerry Rice is hands down number one, okay?
Yeah.
But DeAndre Hopkins still has a lot to prove, okay? And right now, the only player that I can think of that even sniffs his jockstrap is Jerry Rice. DeAndre Hopkins, that Tyler, when he dropped this ball, we said it on air. Why? Because you don't see it happen very often. I know Calvin didn't drop many balls, okay? But Calvin Johnson plays the game more physically dominant than anyone I've ever seen. That I will say, the most physically dominant wide receiver.
Yeah, he ran people over as a receiver, which doesn't happen.
He like, ran people now, over as a receiver. Now. He could jump out of you. He was tall. He had the mitts. He had it all. Calvin Johnson, as a prototype, if I could have a wide receiver, Megatron's it, okay? But there are things that just guys do that you can't explain. And the fact that DeAndre Hopkins caught that ball in that situation and went all of last year without one single drop, not one drop last year, not one recorded drop, okay? He might be the best wide receiver I've ever seen since Jerry Rice. He is a very skilled wide receiver. He runs great routes. He has the speed. He has the hands. He has the physical strength to be able to battle up against three guys to go get that ball. Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, in my opinion, is probably the best wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Okay, EJ, I agree right now. I do. I think Cal, you did say he has a lot to prove, which is
I am gonna put D-Hop above Calvin right now though.
That doesn't make sense at all. That doesn't make sense to me. Just let me okay. I think you take
your Lions bias. Try to take your Lions bias out of this.
I easily can. I still think Calvin's a top. Okay, so you're saying Calvin's a top three of all time. You're putting Hopkins at two? What, an all time already? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yes.
I feel like. Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Calvin right Johnson. Now? No, okay, I believe that DeAndre Hopkins, and I have no statistics to back this up. I'm going just off a gut check here, okay? This is eye test. Jerry Rice is the standard. Can we agree upon that? Jerry Rice is the standard, yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I do agree.
So Jerry Rice is the standard. The only other person, that should have been PI, by the way.
No.
The only other person that I've ever seen do as many things on a checklist correctly is DeAndre Hopkins. Calvin Johnson was so good because he was so physically gifted. He was tall. He was fast. He had the hands. He had the wingspan. He had every gift that you'd ever want a wide receiver to have. I will never take that away from him. And he used all of those gifts to the best of his ability. But I will always tell you that I believe that a slightly shorter wide receiver than Calvin Johnson will be faster, will be able to get more yards, will get more yak, will get more average per reception. And I think that, and I have no, and again, I'm not backing this up statistically, but I would be very curious to look at the number of drops in Calvin's career compared to the number of drops in Jerry's and in DeAndre Hopkins' career. I would bet money right now, without having any basis of statistics here, that DeAndre Hopkins at this point in his career has less drops than Calvin did in his entire career. DeAndre Hopkins' hands are the reason why he is the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Okay, I do agree with the hands. He doesn't drop things. And the thing with Calvin, though, I feel like he does have more drops, but it can't be by that many. I don't know the stats either. That's a kind of wild stat. But Hopkins, okay, I'm just going to give you that. I think even last year.
Or at least let's even break it down to a drops per season. I'd take D-Hop.
Okay, yeah, he's probably had less than Calvin. I'll give you that. That's totally fine. I still think Calvin's better overall. Anyway, but right now I'm going
to
ask you.
But here's the piece that you need to consider, and then I'll shut up here and I'll let you finish. DeAndre Hopkins has had worse quarterbacks until now than Calvin did. Calvin had Matthew Stafford, who statistically finishes as a top 10 quarterback almost every year in his career. So you're comparing a guy that has one of the best 10 quarterbacks in the NFL to a guy that doesn't know who's throwing him the football tomorrow. And this guy, Hopkins, probably still has less drops. Keep that in mind and now finish your statement.
Okay, so how many years did Hopkins have?
I saw you thinking, you know, this is tough.
It is because Stafford, I'm glad you give Stafford credit because I'm big on Stafford. So I'm not going to be like, oh, Stafford's bad and that doesn't make sense, because it does. Stafford is definitely better than.
Well, I'm also not the biggest bang the Stafford drum guy. I think that he is the reason that Detroit has struggled so much. I think that they do need to find a way to move him and get more pieces.
But statistically, yes, Stafford's probably better than. Well, how many years did Hopkins and Watson? They must have been together for
two or three.
Okay. So I don't even know. That's the thing with the Texans. I don't know their quarterback. Schwab, was he there with Hopkins? I don't know.
Matt Schaub wasn't there.
So you do.
I think he had one year of Brock Osweiler, maybe a little Fitzmagic, and then pretty much Deshaun's been the most consistent piece in his career.
Yeah. So I guess that is a good point. I don't know. I think. I'm going to go, okay, we're going to stop the Calvin argument. We can do that a different show because I'm going to do it right now.
It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't want to do this the whole time, you know, but
we're not, we'll do the top five, top three, top two, we'll debate later, but Hopkins deserves his credit, is my point here.
Oh, I think he's the best receiver in the NFL right now. I said this last year.
Do you think he's better than Julio? Because
yes.
Julio's probably the guy that you got to compare to.
I would almost think Davante Adams too. I think he benefits so much from Rodgers.
But here's the thing: he has Rodgers and he hasn't put up more numbers. Rodgers
this year has been really good. He's been hurt. And he's been really good.
I don't know if Davante Adams is like if I'm at the tip of my tongue as to guys I watch right now that I think are making the Hall of Fame. Davante Adams isn't sniffing that list.
I would like to see – this will probably never happen if the Packers are smart, which they aren't really smart with their front office, in my opinion. If Davante Adams – I would love to see him on a different
They only team. Went from Hall of Fame quarterback to Hall of Fame quarterback. But
let's with not. One ring or two rings the whole time.
One each?
One each.
That's like, better than on. Most teams.
It is, but come on. Anyway.
How many rings do the Lions have since the 50s?
What about the Browns?
1964.
Good for you, actually.
That was right before it was the Super Bowl, and Jim Brown did that. And
we have a couple NFL championships.
No, but hold it. No, you don't get to – here's the thing, okay? Fans of the show, Baltimore stole my team. You stole my two Super Bowls, okay? That was my team, and you took them away from us, and you did it in a nasty way, and that's why you don't own those, okay? That's why Baltimore owns those two rings and Cleveland doesn't, because they didn't get to retain our history or our colors or our mascot. I'm going to go full hater for a second. Forget Baltimore.
Anyway, so we were talking about receivers. I would say the top. Okay, let's stop the receiver argument. I want to talk about a receiver though. In that game, in that Buffalo game, Stephon Diggs had a crazy catch that looked like the winner. Literally 30 seconds with 30 seconds to go. You know, you saw that play, right? You saw Josh Allen's dime to. I was on the Bills that game. I had the money line, and I was freaking out. I was actually
no one could have called this.
Exactly, and I'm like watching this game. I'm like, oh my god, what a catch! And Diggs, I respect Diggs.
Two grown men going up and getting the ball.
I love Stephon Diggs. I'm so glad he got out of Minnesota. He did not want to play with Kirk Cousins. That was it, and he did not like Cousins. I'm glad he got there with Josh Allen. That's going to be a good connection for the next 3 to 4 years. I think Diggs is. We're talking about receivers this whole time. The NFL right now is stacked with wide receivers. The top 10, you could go – the top 10 is such a debate. I don't even know – it's so hard. Like that, there's like a top 5 probably, but after that, you could make a case for I don't know how many. It's crazy. So, okay, let's go on to some other – or you got something to say?
Let's hit a couple highlights. Browns beat the Texans 10-7.
Yep.
Terrible game.
Weather was awful.
I will say this though. Hold on. Let me pull this stat line up real quick. The Browns did do something Very unorthodox. Nick Chubb rushing for 126 and Kareem Hunt rushing for 104. The first Browns teammates each rush for 100 yards in the same game since Leroy Kelly and Ernie Green. That's 113 and 103 on October 8th of 1966. So there's a little bit of credit to my Browns. Browns did find a way to squeak that win out. It was ugly. I don't want to hit on that too much.
I want to make one comment on that.
Go.
I had a Browns minus 5.5. They were up 3.
I did get them on the money line.
They were up 3 points. For all you bettors that don't know, I got
straight. I know where you're going.
They're up 3 points. It's 3rd and 4. So I need them to win by 6. It's 3rd and 4. I don't know how many people saw this. Nick Chubb breaks a run out, right? He breaks it off. He goes out the 1-yard line on purpose so they can just kneel it and end the game. So the Texans, it's a smart play. It is. But like, it really screwed a lot of people.
Punch it in.
Well, the difference is between this, they're going up 2 scores with like 16 seconds.
It's between winning and going up 2 scores. You're winning either way.
So just why not just score?
Well, the one way you got more control.
Nick Chubb's just a good guy. He's a good guy. Good for him. But
okay, so Browns win. It was an ugly win. There's not much to talk about there.
It was ugly. Yes. Lions. I'll hit on the Lions.
Lions find a way to hit to get a win, and let me I'll hit on this briefly too. I'll call it triple victory Monday for our listeners. My Browns, because guess what? If you're listening to the show and you don't like the Browns anymore, shame on you. You gotta like kind of like my Browns at this point.
Why not like them? Man?
Yeah, why not? Because you don't care anyways. So my Browns get a win. Your Detroit Lions get a win.
Yeah.
And the
their Green Bay Packers.
And the Green Bay Packers find a way to get a win. So a triple victory Monday for our listeners. Tyler, I'll give you a half 30 seconds to comment on the Lions.
Oh, yeah. So they almost screwed this up so bad.
And I did bet on the Washington football team only because I thought this was a game that the Lions would find a way to screw up because they were supposed to win.
Yeah, so they go up 24-3 in the third, and they end up being tied 27-27. And then Prater came up clutch with the game-winning field goal. It's like it's a win that you're happy that they won, but like they should have won by 30. And, you know, I'm just taking anything I can get right now. I'm just glad. That's usually a game they screw up. So
take a win.
I'll take a win. Prater, 59-yarder for the win. That's a long field goal. So actually, shout out Alex Smith, too, coming back from that injury first start since.
Absolutely.
390 yards. It's against the Lions, but that's a lot of yards.
Can we pause for a second? Huge shout out. Alex Smith, terrible injury, coming back, having a good game, not finding a way to win, but.
Almost brought him back, though, so that's crazy.
Alex Smith. If you're not a fan of him now, you need to be, because he suffered the kind of leg injury that cripples guys, and he's back starting in the NFL. So regardless as to whether or not he hurt you or whatever, like team-wise, like he was not good in his first couple of years in San Francisco, but you need to support the guy. It's a great – he did fine in Kansas City, but this is a way for – him to come back, be relevant. He's doing a good job. He's been great since he's come back. Maybe not great since he's come back. I'd rather say it's great to see him come back.
Right.
But
right.
He did very, very well for Kansas City while he was there. So we'll roll out of that. Green Bay Packers, would they beat the Jaguars this week?
Yeah, it was
in like a rough game.
Weirdly close.
Weird game, but they got the win. Okay, neither of us are Packers fans, so we'll just move on.
24-20. Good for them. I mean,
got their
whatever.
Win.
Yeah.
Against a 1-8.
1-7. One and eight now.
Against a 1-8 Jaguars team. I hope you're proud of yourself, Green Bay. But we're going to move on to NCAA football. There's not a lot that we really need to talk about this week. I don't believe that there was much parity in the NCAA schedule. We got Ohio State, Indiana. That's this week. Which is probably, unfortunately, the best Big Ten game of the season. Indiana, top 10 team. Ohio State poised to make a move into the college football playoff. Tyler, I'll just ask you real quick, who do you got there? And I'll say this, as a Buckeye fan, Indiana's got a shot at this game.
Yeah, Ohio State's favored by 20 points, which at home, I guess, but that's like
as well they should be.
I guess, but
my bias is coming out.
Indiana, they've been really, really good this year. And they keep
who's that quarterback?
Penix Jr. Penix Jr.
Michael Penix Jr.
He's
been great.
Yeah, and if you can have a quarterback who can control the game.
And let's take a pause for a quick second. Scott Nason on our Monday night show gave Michael Penix Jr. a ton of credit. He really is doing he's probably the main reason that Indiana's in this conversation at this point.
Oh, 100%. And it's like he beat Michigan. He beat State last week 24-0. So, I mean, he's just playing good. He's doing good. And, like, if you can have a quarterback in college football who can – he's pretty mobile as well, I believe. Yeah, maybe not as much looking at the stats, not as much. But, no, he can control the game. And I think they're going to give Ohio State a pretty good game. I mean, you're Ohio State guy, so you probably know more about, like, prediction wise, but I think it's going to be closer than a 20 point game. I don't know. What do you think, DJ?
What's the spread on this, Tyler?
Ohio State's favored by 20. Like,
what's the over under?
I'm not sure on that one.
Look it up real quick. I'll tell you this. You said the spread's
66 and a half, actually. 66 and a half.
Spread's 20?
20, 20 and a half, yeah.
I'll take under and I'll take Indiana. I think that this is the kind of. Excuse me. Talk for a second.
Yeah, but like EJ was saying, I do agree that it's probably going to be like a low scoring game where Indiana keeps it close at Ohio State. Yeah, why not? No fans. It's not going to be like it's whoa, a new man. Game too. So,
dude, I got a little wild there. Yeah. That Pink Whitney was getting me. No, I'm just kidding. I had a little bit of a cough attack, but. No, this is the kind of game. The spread's 20. I definitely bet on Indiana here.
It's one of my bets later.
I would bet on Indiana here because they're a team that, and you said this, they find a way to always give Michigan fits. They find ways to give teams fits. They always have good offensive linemen. This is a game that with a quarterback like Michael Penix, they might find a way to, like, I don't think they find a way to win, but I think they find a way to be close. And if I'm a betting man, I'll take Indiana and the spread this week because I think they'll be within two touchdowns. I think Ohio State does find a way to put that exclamation point on the win. I think there will be that one play where you're like, okay, they're definitely one of the best two teams in the country. I'll say they're a top two team because Notre Dame is not better than us this year.
All right. So moving on from that game, we do have another pretty big Big Ten game, top 20 matchup. Northwestern is down 19th in the country, 4-0, playing number 10 Wisconsin. Northwestern's at home in that one. Wisconsin's a 7.5-point favorite, so favored by about a touchdown. That's going to be interesting. 3:30 kickoff. Northwestern, I mean, They're 4-0. I mean, it's good for them, you know, good for the program. They're not really a football school, but I do think Wisconsin is going to beat Northwestern in this game. I really
who's
do.
Not a football school?
Northwestern is Michigan, okay. Actually. Michigan's
well, they're more
Michigan's a basketball school now, so I'm confirming
Michigan's
that.
Barely a school.
It's ugly. Michigan's I don't even want to talk about it.
Michigan might as well just be a school.
They just got killed by Wisconsin. Who we're talking about? They just got killed by Wisconsin. The hockey team swept this weekend, but whatever.
Michigan does have one of the best arenas.
Yost.
Yost is nice. Yeah. Dude, that's a rough place to play. Like, I don't care what Michigan's record is. Yost is a tough place to play. But we're talking Big Ten football. Wisconsin's probably the second best Big Ten team, and outside of their COVID issues. They haven't put anything on tape that showed me otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, they've killed Illinois week one, destroyed Michigan last week. So, I mean,
the Illinois win doesn't mean anything to me, but
going to the big house and doing that, though.
Well, apparently, right now, going into the big house isn't that hard.
So, fans, DJ. Not just that, though.
it's like the big house is still a place like you don't want to go to. Like, traditionally, as an Ohio State fan, like, oh, where's the game this year? It's in Michigan. Ooh. Like that, like even if you know you're going to win, like knowing you're going and playing that game in Ann Arbor, that still takes a little wind out of your sails. Like playing on the road is tough. But I think that Wisconsin is that much better of a football team this year. I think that they're much, can I continue, much stronger at the quarterback position than Michigan is. Well, and here's the thing is Wisconsin knows that they don't need to throw the football as much, and Michigan is trying to commit to this pass-heavy offense. There's, I think there's been a couple games this year where Milton's thrown 50 passes.
Run the football. Good running backs.
Every time I talk about Michigan football, look at the best teams that you've had in recent history, and you've always had a solid, maybe not the best in the country outside of Charles Woodson, who is just
good.
He's probably going to be the only true, real, in this era, two-way player to win the Heisman. Which Bo Jackson didn't do that, but Bo Jackson could run for president. He would have been fine. Michigan is always good when they have a solid running offense first. You guys need to remember, this is Big Ten football. This is the Midwest. We got big old dumb farm boys up here. Run the football, then pass. You run well. Look at what Ohio State has done well, right? Ezekiel Elliott, J.K. Dobbins, Master Teague III. Right? Should we go back to Maurice Claret, Carlos Hyde, these other pieces that we've always had at running back? You sprinkle them in, right, for two, three years at a time. You sprinkle these good running backs in, and all of a sudden now you got Justin Fields throwing 40-something touchdowns. You got Dwayne Haskins throwing for was it an NCAA record, 50-something touchdowns? He beat Drew Brees, who had the record from Purdue, which I love the fact that he's playing for the same colors in New Orleans and almost the exact same color scheme. I love that. Well, no.
I said pretty much. He was at the Chargers.
Was there for a while, though, with LT. That was a great Chargers team. Actually, that team is probably the best NFL team to never win a Super Bowl. Is the Schottenheimer, Drew Brees, LaDainian Tomlinson, Chargers.
But anyway, yeah, so... And the thing with Michigan is they have good... talented running backs. It's just
not this year.
No, they do. They really do. Zach Charbonnet is a sophomore. He was there last year. He had a lot of touchdowns last year. They have Blake Corum.
Then why aren't they running the football?
That's what I'm saying, EJ. They have the talent. They have Chris Evans who came back from
suspension. Okay, so if they're not running the football and your running backs are that good, is this Harbaugh's last year?
I hope it is. I used to defend the hell out of him. I want someone. I want someone
that comes from a guy sitting in my home studio / living room that's wearing a Michigan football hoodie in my house as I sit behind an Ohio State banner.
Yes, I want Harbaugh.
Gone. Fire Harbaugh.
Yes.
I'm
on it.
Would you do it today or would you wait till the end of the season?
I would wait to the end at this point because this year's wild.
You want to get a few more sleepovers in?
What's up?
You want to get a few more sleepovers
in? Yeah, with kickers. But
with kickers.
But no, if they do fire him, they're going to wait. There's no point of doing it now. And these players are committed to him. So let's touch on the NBA a little bit. The NBA draft, it just happened last night.
We got about 10 minutes left. We could go into college football all day because the scene's crazy right now. But Tyler, no, let's transition to the NBA. You talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, and I'll pretend to know what I'm talking about.
I already know what I'm talking about.
All right, yeah. So we'll talk about the draft.
Lil Yit talking.
All right. Let's get into the draft a little. So the draft kind of it was.
That's like the one thing I was super unprepared for.
I'm looking up stuff right now. The NBA draft, it was a little boring, to be honest. There was a lot of trading leading up to the draft. Number one went Anthony Edwards to the T-Wolves, which was pretty much chalk. It was like the chalk number one prospect all year. And people were thinking the T-Wolves might have traded that pick. Or the Warriors were second, and that was a big place where they were looking at trading that pick. So they didn't, though, and they took James Wiseman, who I honestly thought James Wiseman was better than Edwards, to be honest. And then Charlotte, MJ's Charlotte Hornets, he took LaMelo Ball, EJ. LaMelo Ball, you know, the Ball brothers. And he's the real deal. He is. I think he's going to be better than Lonzo. And people that don't think that family is successful are wrong. They, like, LaVar Ball is crazy or whatever. He produced.
Hold on.
Two top three draft picks.
Hold on. LaVar Ball's a moron.
Why is that?
Well, he's undefeated, never lost. Like, come on, dude. Like, he is a fantastic salesman. And this is coming from the best salesman that I know. Okay. No, LaVar Ball is a fantastic salesman.
Well, that was his whole point, though. That was what he tried to sell his kids this whole time, and it worked.
But he tried to use some of his statistics as credibility, like he didn't play more than 5 minutes a game.
He wasn't good at sports. No, that was just, I don't know. But anyway, LaMelo Ball is the real
thing. It's all fanfare. It's all crap, okay? It's mush. He's filler. LaMelo Ball is probably better than let me rephrase. I think LaMelo's a better shooter than Lonzo. I think Lonzo is a better playmaker than LaMelo.
I think Lonzo's good. I'm excited to see. He played really well
before. Lonzo?
Yes.
I don't think Lonzo is the kind of player that you can expect to play 15 seasons for your team. I think he's the kind of player that you expect to have for 6 years. You grow an affection for him, and then all of a sudden he's on to the next team.
Oh, he's going to bounce. He's going to bounce around.
You know who he might be. And he's not this good. I'll give you a great comparison, and you're going to be pissed at me when I say this. Chris Paul. He's the kind of guy like Chris Paul that'll move around between these teams because he's a good piece. But he'll Chris Paul is definitely I say that reluctantly, though, because he statistically, X's and O's wise, he is a great brain. He is an excellent statistician, excellent tactician. He knows how to play the game, but he still doesn't have that title. And I think that hurts him. But he might be one of the smartest point guards we've ever seen. LaMelo Ball is more athletically gifted. Like Lonzo, if Lonzo's going to make it to the Hall of Fame, he has to take a piece out of Chris Paul's book, right? Because I don't think you have the skill set like your brother does to be physically dominant in this league. You have to be smarter than the rest of this league. And that's what I think Chris Paul did very well. But LaVar Ball being involved in any organization with Michael Jordan, I guarantee you LaMelo's getting traded before the end of his contract.
Yeah. And I thought
Michael Jordan don't screw around. Like, if there's any nonsense, they're gone.
Right. And I honestly thought the Detroit Pistons were trying to trade up. There was rumors they were going to try to get up to the number two pick and trade with Golden State.
Rumors only happened because LeBar wanted LaMelo to go to Detroit, which I'm still not sure why.
I mean, I don't
maybe
know.
I had to do with Blake Griffin, but
Griffin might have got traded if they did it anyway. But so that was those top three picks they're pretty much chalk. They were like those were the top three prospects, and that was what was supposed to happen. So it did, and kind of disappointing in my opinion because I wanted more trades just for entertainment wise. But Patrick Williams at four to the Bulls was kind of a dumb pick in my opinion. He was not the best available there. The Bulls needed better.
Okay, if you're my Cleveland Cavaliers, and I think they should they have taken Obi Toppin number five?
Either that or have traded back. I thought this draft was honestly after the top three, even that.
I'll agree with the traded back. I think Obi Toppin, you either take him or you trade because I think somebody takes him at five.
Obi Toppin went
eight. Yeah, but he went to Dayton. Like that would have been a great pick.
No, I think Cavaliers, it would have been perfect. Get a kid for the
from
Cavs.
Ohio. Yeah. Like he's from where'd he end up going to the Knicks? He's a kid from New York, but that would have been a great pick for the Cavs. A kid from Dayton coming in?
No, I think Obi Toppin should have went way higher than eighth, and the Knicks got a steal on him. He's good at – well, the Knicks are dumb because they have, like, six power forwards or forwards right now. So I don't get that for the Knicks. He's going to be that Showtime player, And honestly, now that EJ, you make that point with the Cavs at five, that is not a bad. That's not a bad spot, you know. And who they took, or
who would they end up picking at five?
Isaac Oroko from Auburn. He's a small forward. Who he is good. I've seen him play plenty of times. He's very solid. So that's not even a bad pick either. But in general, this draft.
Well, I'm just really saying thank you because I didn't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah. Yeah, but this draft in general to me was just very, it wasn't strong. It wasn't like, and I probably the majority of the people would say that this is not a very good draft. And you're not going to get that Zion Williams in this draft, or even like, obviously, just it's not as good. And that's why I thought there'd be more trade downs from those top picks, especially Golden State, who's loaded. Actually, Klay Thompson just suffered an Achilles tear the day of the draft, which is honestly probably one of the reasons why they didn't trade that pick, because you're going to need a player to come in right away. So I don't know. That sucks that Klay Thompson's out for the year just like that in a pickup game, out of all things. But
well, and you know what? This is the off time in the NBA, so we don't need to spend that much time. You're like, yes, let's give a hot minute to let people who may not know. Klay Thompson is down for his second season in a row. Tyler, give us the details.
Yeah, it's huge. He literally, like, 2 hours before the draft yesterday, like, there were reports Klay Thompson hurts himself in a pickup game. We're like, wow, I hope he's not serious. And all of a sudden, after the draft, we're like, yeah, torn Achilles out for the year. That's insane. And it's wild this year also because the season starts in December, EJ. It's already started, and they just finished. Because of all the COVID stuff, you know, they delayed it. It's coming already, and it's happening, and it sucks for Klay. And that, just like that, the Warriors are back. We've still got a good team, but it's going to be difficult to win, go deep into the playoffs. But I want to mention one thing, NBA. James Harden, one of the best players in the league, in my opinion.
Wanting to go to Brooklyn?
Big rumors that he's going to the Brooklyn Nets, who already have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who are two of the top 10 players in the NBA. So
this is stupid, dude.
Don't like it at all.
He turned down a $50 million a year offer. That might be, like, listen, okay. Tyler, don't you dare say anything that gets us in trouble here. Do we make a lot of money doing what we're doing right now?
No.
And I'm laughing. Like, no, we don't make a lot of money doing this. We do this because we love sports, okay?
Right.
If you offered me $50 million a year, I might do whatever you want me to do for 2 years. For 2 years? I'll do whatever you want me to do for $100 million. Like, I thought that was a stupid rejection, okay? Because I do think that Houston still has enough pieces to be relevant that you might accidentally find your way in the NBA Finals. I think that he was very, I believe that very James Harden was very dumb in dismissing, okay? I'm not saying rejecting. It feels like he dismissed it. He dismissed a $100 million offer for 2 years because he wants to go play with Kyrie and KD in Brooklyn. I don't think Brooklyn's shown me enough to show me that that's worth rejecting $50 million a year. I think that was a bad move. I think that right now, when I hear this story, you know, the terminology that continually comes up in the NBA is tampering. Somebody tell me how this isn't tampering.
Yeah,
it's
just, right.
It's too many hands in the kitchen. Too many cooks.
Yeah, and there's somehow they've been talking to Harden this whole time. You know, like KD and Kyrie. But anyway. The thing with this whole situation,
I'll keep this
players short. Are allowed to talk. Like, okay, so let me go back for a second. LeBron James, when he went to Miami, okay, I had major issues with the fact that him, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade were all talking about where they were going to go before their contracts were up.
Okay? That's like college recruiting.
That's, you know, collusion. I mean? Okay. If you make that kind of decision, I think you need to inform your team. I get that the rules become blurry when it comes to collusion, but just be a good human being. Like, if you're not coming back and this team's invested 7 years in you, or 6 years or 5 years, even four. Okay. 4 years is not a small chunk of time. Like, that's literally enough to see one whole grade go through high school. Mm-hmm. you deserve them the respect to tell them what's going on. You can't keep them in the dark that the way that LeBron did to Cleveland when he went to Miami.
And they're now sitting on a TV special. It's insane.
Well, he didn't do the he just released a clip when he went to the Lakers. Okay. He knew how to do it right. He did it right the second time. He released a letter to Cleveland. The next time it was just a media snippet to ESPN that he was going to Lakers. I think LeBron learned a lot, but you can't just blindside a team like that. You got to give him some kind of heads up.
Right. So that's talking about Harden. So I just want to make one.
Harden's being a thing right now.
Yeah. I just want to make one point quickly about the Nets situation. And in my honest opinion, I don't think the Nets should go for Harden. And obviously, Kyrie and Katie are definitely in the Nets GM's head, like saying, get him. But like, I think right now the Nets roster with KD, Kyrie, Caris LeVert from Michigan, Joe Harris, who is a three-point shooter, he's amazing at shooting threes, and then you got Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen at center. There is no way that roster in the East cannot make a run. And
Dinwiddie is far better on the outside than people realize.
Exactly. And Caris LeVert is like
he's not good, but he's better than you think he is.
Exactly. And I'm a little biased with LeVert.
Like when I hear when I watch a game and I hear Dinwiddie for three, I'm like, it's going in. Exactly. I trust him.
Yeah, and like Caris LeVert has showed that he can play. He dropped 50 last year. And he literally plays like KD, but he's obviously not as good, but he's like a mini KD.
He's definitely not as good.
No, I think KD's the best player in the world when he's healthy. We're not LeBron, whatever. But anyway, we're okay. But that roster right there is good enough to get a one seed in the East, and they're gonna have to give up like three of the pieces I just said to even get Harden. How are Harden, Kyrie, and KD gonna work together? So anyway, that's our NBA talk. We haven't mentioned them a lot. We're gonna have to pretty soon. The season's starting, but yeah, let's get into our.
We're getting close to college basketball season two, which I know you're super excited.
I'm so excited
about.
For college basketball
too.
We'll get a preview next week on that for sure.
We'll do a preview. Tyler's insight will probably be better than mine because I mostly dive in closer to March Madness, because college very early is very difficult. Like here's what I can tell you. Ready? Here's the one thing I know for sure: Michigan State will lose two games out of their first 10.
Always.
And they will be two top 10 teams. That's the only thing I can tell you. But we're going to get into our best bet segment, which is where we cut off last week. So week one, I was 1-2, Tyler 0-3. Week two, me 2-1, Tyler 1-1. Ah, he had a game get canceled. So
yeah,
we are sitting at me currently 3-3, and Tyler is 1-4. So I'm going to make my three picks, one pro, one college for football, and one random. Tyler's going to double up. He's going to do two pro, two college. So Tyler, we'll let you lead so that you can finish. Tyler, who's your first pick this week?
All right, I'll start with NFL.
Well, make sure it's a good bet.
It's a great bet.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah, I've been bad on
Don't lead him wrong.
I'm a lot better off the show.
Well, you're 1-4, and I'm 3-3.
A lot better off the show, like I said.
Just wanted to bring it up.
Anyway.
You said you were 6-6 last week. 500. You're worse than my best record.
We'll have a talk later.
All right, Tyler, what do you got this week?
Anyway, so my first pick is going to go NFL. We'll start with NFL. I got the Tennessee Titans at the Ravens +5. So they have to lose by.
You're taking Tennessee?
Yes, +5.
At Baltimore?
Yes, they might win this game. Baltimore is not that good against good
at
running.
Baltimore.
Yes, Baltimore can't stop a good running back.
If you like Tyler, take money here. That's a bold bet, buddy.
I love it. I love the Titans, and that line moved. They were +7 earlier, so a lot of people are betting on them already. But yeah, it's definitely that's the pick. That's just the pick. I think the Titans have the Ravens just lost to the Patriots, which was an embarrassing game, very embarrassing. So I'm gonna go to my second NFL. Then you,
Grant, what do you? Yeah, you do your two NFL. I'll do one. Then you do your two NCAA, and I'll do my one. So who's your second pick?
I got the Vikings. Minus 7.5 against the Cowboys at home. They're in Minnesota. Cowboys are awful. Cowboys.
That's in U.S. Bank.
Yes. Cowboys nice are. The Cowboys aren't going to get it. They're not going to turn around this year. They aren't. Dalton's coming back, but I think that might be worse for them. The Vikings are on a roll. They're going to win the next three games. They're going to be 7-5 after the next three games. I guarantee it. I don't know who they play, but I know it's bad teams. I saw it earlier, but I forgot. But the Cowboys, that's a Sunday night game too, I think. I believe it is. But Vikings are going to win by 8 or more, like 1,000%. So those are my two NFL picks, and they're right, people. So if you want to win money, there you go.
Well, again, I'm 3-3 and Tyler's 1-4. So if you want to win money, here's the best NFL bet of the week. I'm going to take the Bengals spread. They're giving them 1.5. Okay. I'm going to take the Bengals over Washington. I actually think they're going to win big here.
I do too.
I almost want to take the over on this game because I think Joe Burrow is that good of a quarterback. But I think the Bengals are going to win by more than 2. Bengals in this game all day. Bengals plus 1.5 at Washington. Road dog. Okay. Bengals 1.5. First bet of the day.
Like it. Like it.
What's college, go.
I'll do one and then you can do your 2. My first college
pick. No, you have 2. I have 1. Because you got to make up for the one that got canceled last week. So give me your 2 college and I'll give you. Or actually, you know what? I'll give you my college bet right now and then you can give me your college bets, okay?
Go for it.
I'm going to take Appalachian State at Coastal Carolina. I'm going to go over 48.5. I think the. Give me. Chanticleers. Chanticleers.
There you go. The birds.
The Coastal Carolina Chanticleers versus the Appalachian State Mountaineers. I'm going to take the over 48 in this game. Why? Just because I like the team's names. Coastal Carolina has been good this year. Appalachian State has gotten good enough that they're in now this D1 conversation. I'll take 48. That's a low scoring over under. I'll take the over on that game.
That's a good bet. I do agree with that. So my college pick, I have 2 of them. I'll do both of them right now. We talked about this earlier, though, in Indiana, Ohio State a little bit. So I'm taking Indiana plus 20 at Ohio State.
Do you think they're within 20?
Yes, easily. It's going to be like a 10-point game, if that. It might be single digits.
I don't think we're friends anymore.
Indiana's covering the season.
That's a good bet.
I don't know how it's that big. I understand. And then my second pick, Nevada. Nevada?
If that game was at 16-17.
That's a different story.
Yeah, right? Like
just because that, like 17 is a different number, like a way different.
No,
number,
I'd bet Indiana plus 20 there.
Okay, so my second pick, I've watched this team a couple times. Nevada is somehow underdog. It's only a point. It's pretty much a pick'em game.
The Wolfpack?
Yes, sir. Plus 1.5 at home against San Diego State University. And Nevada has
Wolfpack Aztecs.
Yes. Aztecs,
that's red cool versus name. Blue.
Yes.
San Diego this is State. Red versus blue, straight up.
It is. San Diego State. I got Nevada. They have a quarterback and a receiver, Dubs or Diggs. Dubs, it's Dubs, the receiver. He's a stuff. I bet on Nevada earlier.
What's the money line here?
I'm not sure. I just looking up. Plus 1.5. I mean, it's probably a even.
Plus, okay.
Like, it's plus like 120 or something. It's nothing crazy.
Who do you have?
Nevada. Nevada's winning this game. Against home, San Diego State.
Yeah. I'll take San Diego State. I bet you a beer on it. Live on air.
Let's do it right here. Shake hands.
Shake, shake, shake.
Good, good.
Virtual shake, shake, shake. That's a bet. That's a beer on this game. I got San Diego State straight up.
No you can spread. Add this to your card. We'll add it to your card. Because, yeah.
I got another bet. But no, but this is straight up.
I know, but we're adding that to your card because then the winner of it gets a
gets okay, a win. So straight up, yeah. Winner of this game.
It's a beer.
No spread, straight up.
Yeah, it's barely a spread.
I got so you got
Nevada.
I got San Diego State.
All right, perfect. Right, just like that.
I like that bet. All right, and my final bet of the day. I know I usually go college, pro, and one wild card. I'm gonna go back to college. UCF plus 6 at Clemson. I'm gonna take UCF money line here. And the money line's not as big as you think it would be. The money line's only plus 165, but you know what? I like UCF here. I like this straight up. I think they find a way to make Cincinnati be out of the national championship conversation. This is a trap game for Cincinnati. I'll take UCF. This is in Florida, okay? This is in Orlando. I'll take UCF. I'll take the Knights. And I'm going to take him straight up money line plus 165.
EJ, it sucks when I like your bets because we're playing again. That's a, you know, and you, since he's been good, I've won some money on Sissy this year. I bet on
the only bad thing about that bet is that it's only plus 165.
You know, we talked about this before that I'm like, I guess like plus 200 or 300 because, well, 6 points is a lot usually. Like the money
that line should have been a plus 200 bet.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're not going to get a ton of value there. I mean, you still are because it's plus 165.
Well, here's the thing. And I'll give our fans this. You are a much more calculated gambler than I am.
I'd say that too. Yeah.
I play statistics. Okay. I'm a math guy. Here's the thing. Whatever show I'm on, whether it be today, In the Pocket, Monday night, you know, Butch on Sports, The Drive, whatever it is, I know my math, okay? I always know my statistics. I can't do this. This is not my dojo. Tyler, this is you, man.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know what I know, and I'll do my best, but this is your kingdom.
No, yeah, I have a lot of fun betting on games, and I think, yeah, it makes it a lot more exciting. It makes it a lot more exciting. Random game. Like, I'm betting on tonight, I have the Cardinals tonight, and I have an over in a different game, and it's a
big what Tulsa Tulane.
That's a loser already. I'm not. EJ, I bet the over in the game is 0-0 at half.
We had that game on when we started this recording, and as soon as it hit 820, Tyler begged me to put on the NFL game so he didn't have to watch his money go bye bye.
It was bad. It was bad. I got faith in the Cardinals. I think they pull this out, but yes, that's our. But I'm glad we're doing the pick.
That's it. That's best bets.
Yeah, it makes it interesting. It makes it fun.
Do you have the records?
Shut up.
Where are we at?
I'm 1-4. You're...
No, I'm just.
Oh, really?
We're polishing this off.
I'm 1-4. You're 3-3.
Actually, I think I gave you way too much Pink Whitney.
Anyway, but yeah, those are our bets. So.
All right. So that's going to be this week's edition of the Hot Seat. Tyler, we've had a lot of fun tonight.
Yes, sir.
You know what? For the first time that we didn't record at Moe's, this felt super cool. Did it not? Like, I want fans to know, like, Tyler's literally sitting on my living room super chair. I'm on my couch. I got a Browns painting that I painted myself in an Ohio State flag over here. I got autograph hats over here. Like, we're literally sitting in my mad cave, and Tyler... This might have been my favorite show to record with you. So, Tyler, thank you so much for coming. I'm sorry that we didn't get to record this from Moe's Pub. Again, our favorite sponsor, Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. Thank you so much, Moe's Pub, for being a sponsor. Tyler, thank you so much for coming this week. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, it just felt great to get back. You know, we had that 2-week hiatus, like you've said. 1 week was on us. But no, it's good to be back. I think it was a great show, and this one's going to be out there. I guarantee it. Yeah, no technical difficulties this time. So thank you guys for listening. I thought it was a fun one. Many more to come. Many more to come, EJ. So, yes, sir.
So this is the November 19th edition of the Game Sports Show, The Hot Seat, starring myself and Escanaba Escalante. Excellence, the notorious NORSE, Tyler Ouellette. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, EJ.
The Hot Seat is powered by The Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Again, I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And we will see you on next week's edition. All technical difficulties aside, wink, wink. We'll check you out on next week's edition of The Hot Seat. EJ Russell, Tyler Ouellette.
Yep.
And we will see you later. See ya.